Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Today is the birth anniversary of legendary multi-talented Native American athlete Jim Thorpe, a man some consider the greatest athlete of all time. And coming up a bit later this hour, we'll talk with Thorpe's biographer Kate Buford. But first, when 13-year-old Pakistani girl Kainat Sumro accused four men of rape, she risked her reputation, education, and even her life. In a culture where women are often blamed and labeled impure and even killed for making such accusations, Kainat's family supports her. Her story and quest for justice is the subject of the documentary Outlawed in Pakistan. It airs tonight on the PBS series Frontline on SDPB-TV at 9 Central, 8 Mountain. Filmmakers Hilke Shellman and Habiba Noshin spent nearly 4 years tracing the evolution of Kainat's complicated case from both sides. I spoke to the filmmakers earlier this morning and asked Hilke Shellman when she and Habiba Noshin first met Kainat Sumro, the subject of Outlawed in Pakistan.
We met her on our first reporting trip to Pakistan, which is actually almost 4 years ago. It's been a long time. Habiba and I did another film together, and afterwards she convinced me, she's originally from Pakistan, to travel to Pakistan with her and, tell stories of women who fight against gender stereotypes and just tell important stories coming out of their country. So we went pretty much with a clean slate to Pakistan with our camera, just the two of us. And we met Kainat through the Human Rights Commission of Pakistan, who told us that, they thought she was a remarkable woman for being so young and fighting her case in court. She says that she was allegedly raped by four men, and we met with her and thought as well that, you know, she has a really interesting story to tell. And what's also interesting is that her brother, her mother, her father, everybody was standing by her side. So we took on her story, but we also wanted to make sure to show what it's like to fight an alleged rape case in Pakistan. So we also talked to the four alleged rapists who kept telling us over and over again that they're innocent.
Well, Habiba, you just mentioned that Hilke just mentioned that Kainat was supported by her family. Her father even mm-hmm. says that they'll fight to get justice. How unusual is it for young women who make accusations of rape to have that support of their family? So often we hear about mercy killings in situations like Kainat's.
Right. I think you're absolutely correct. In extreme cases, you know, you hear about honor killings and mercy killings, but in other cases, and in most of the cases, what you hear is nothing. That, you know, families just tell you not to bring up these, you know, never to talk about this in public, never to make sure nobody finds out, because it's going to affect not only your honor in the family, but also the family's reputation in the community. So a lot is at stake in making sure that the word that your daughter has been raped doesn't get out. And a lot of that pressure goes on the woman or the rape victim to make sure that they stay silent, because if they tell people that this has happened in an attempt to get justice, it ends up actually hurting their reputation more than even the reputation of the rapist.
And the family, I don't want to give too much away about what happens and the story that you tell and Outlawed in Pakistan, but the family, they really sacrifice a lot to support Kainat.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what I think Hilke was saying, that was remarkable for us, you know, to see and to see in a place in, like Pakistan, which actually does show you that they are definitely people going against the grains and family going against the stereotypes of, you know, this father who is absolutely adamant that he's going to support his daughter right till the end. And you see that very clearly in the film.
And the family also shared with us that they felt threatened for their lives. They told us that people in the community had threatened them, and that they fled their little hometown village in the interior of the country and lived in Karachi because they're afraid for their lives.
Well, Hilke, Kainat comes across as a very strong, determined young woman. How unusual is it for a young woman in Pakistan to make accusations of rape?
I think it's pretty unusual, actually, because you know, often rape victims and even alleged rape victims, women who speak up, about sexual violence, they are often blamed. So a lot of women in the country know the consequences of speaking up, that they often would be blamed and stigmatized and shunned. So I think there's not much incentive to speak up. And she was also, you know, she was so young and determined, and that was, you know, one of the things I think why her story also became played in the Pakistani media as well. We aren't the first reporting on her. We are the first ones who do an in-depth documentary on her. But she also, you know, she was covered in the newspaper because she was so outspoken.
Habiba Nosheen, how difficult was it to produce this documentary, Outlawed in Pakistan? As I understand, the two of you pretty much started out, this was personally financed?
Yeah, that's true. It was. And, you know, we felt that it was an important story to tell. And we thought it was an important story to tell if you did it right. And the way we anticipated doing it right would look like is following a case over years and see how it plays out, not just going in, you know, for a month and just figuring, you know, whatever you can get in that month and coming back to the U.S. We kept on going back and again for a period of time. I mean, I spent one of my summers just living in Pakistan to try to get as much as I could on the ground in terms of access and in terms of speaking to all the parties involved. And yeah, I think it was tough. I mean, when you're dealing with, you know, a rape case and a complicated rape case where there's little to help you sort out fact from fiction, it's tough. And it was really tough, especially, you know, the details of the case and just reading those files. I remember one day I came home from meeting both Kainat and also the defense attorney who's also in the film, and I just felt just exhausted because it's a lot to take in. But I think ultimately, what kept us going is that this is an important story to tell of how the system is continuously failing people who get caught up in a rape case.
So what is the criminal justice system like in Pakistan?
I mean, you know, it's and that's not only applying to rape cases. One problem is that we heard over and over again that there are lengthy trials. The police is often under political influence. You know, there is corruption, and the rule of law is being challenged left and right. And how it plays out in rape cases, you can see, we think, pretty well in Kainat's case. So what happened, there was a medical examination. Sperm was found, but there was never any DNA testing comparing the DNA of the sample to the four accused men. And, you know, that obviously probably could have solved the case pretty early on, but that didn't happen. And also the second thing, what happened to her that makes it so hard to win a case in Pakistani court is that the police didn't really investigate very thoroughly. You know, the police investigator said in court documents that he went to the house where the alleged gang rape happened, and the house was found locked, and he turned around and never came back. So the problem is, if you don't have forensic evidence, then, you know, it's a he said, she said situation in court, and it's incredibly hard to convict anyone on those allegations. So that definitely played out in this case, and that's one of the systematic problems in the country's judicial system and in police investigations.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're talking with filmmakers Hilke Shellman and Habiba Nosheen. They're the producers of the Frontline documentary Outlawed in Pakistan, which airs tonight on SDPB-TV. Habiba, I'm wondering, the two of you are women filmmakers. Did that help or hurt trying to produce a documentary and getting the interviews that you needed when you were in Pakistan?
I think the funniest thing of all this journey is that it was definitely an asset for us to be women filmmakers and women filmmakers with small crews. I mean, we shot most of it ourselves, so we would just show up for an interview with our camera and be like, okay, here we are. You know, people weren't scared of us. People weren't intimidated by us. And you see that in the access that we have in the film. You know, we spoke to almost everyone, and you wonder, how is that even possible? And I think part of the reason is, you know, we perhaps weren't taken very seriously, is one guess that I could throw out there. People was like, oh, well, she's just a girl, you know, with a camera. What is she going to do? But people were generally very open and willing to tell their stories. And I think that they don't get an opportunity to do that. And it is very unusual for female journalists to wander around Pakistan themselves with a camera and making a film. So I think all those things made us sort of these endangered species or some weird creatures, but also helped us because people just didn't, you know, just opened up in ways that were very profound.
Well, Habiba, you were born and raised in Pakistan. Did that help in the making of Outlawed in Pakistan?
Absolutely. I think that the fact that I had the cultural sensitivity to sort of to know the context that we were dealing with and to know the intricacies of the culture definitely was helpful. Also speaking the language, you know, it kept us safe, and it also allows you to break a barrier and you know, we didn't have to overcome a barrier of cultural difference. I get the culture, and I was able to convince the people in our film that they're speaking to somebody who understands their cultural environment.
Well, Hilke Shulman, as you've both mentioned, you spoke to the alleged rapist for the documentary. Were they as willing to talk with you as Kainat and her family were?
Absolutely. I think, you know, our team spoke to them as well, and that was sort of very important to us, because when you do have a rape case that you see in a documentary, I think what's one of the most important things is being able to hear from the men as well. And because I think it provides insight into what's happening in the case that and how can rape cases in Pakistan be dealt with in a way that's helpful to everybody involved. I mean, but you know, they were actually pretty willing to speak to us too, because they were very determined to clear their name. They felt that they had been wronged because they were denied bail, and that was a very frustrating part for them, because as they said to us, or one of the family members said to us, is, you know, this is a country where, you know, serial murderers get bail. Why were we denied bail just for an alleged rape case? And I think that they felt wronged about that, and they wanted to speak to us.
Did Kainat know that you were talking to the accused rapist as well?
You know, as a Western journalist, I guess one of the things you assume is people know that, you know, you're going to speak to all the sides, but no, initially she didn't know, and it wasn't that I had made any attempts to not share that, but here as well, when we're doing a film, we don't often disclose who the other parties are that you're speaking to. You just assume that people know that you're going to do a fair and balanced job and speak to all the parties involved. So one day I showed up to talk to Kainat, and she was very upset, and I said, well, you know, what's happening? And she said, you know, I found out that you guys, us, and your team went to the village to speak to the men. And I said, of course we did. You know, you would want us to. Anybody should want us to or expect us to. And I think it was a hard concept for her to grasp, because she felt probably confused, and I'm speaking for her, but she probably felt confused about what this kind of documentary is all about, because, you know, it's not very common in Pakistan to have somebody following you for years at a time and then also wanting to follow the other side for years at a time. That was very confusing to her, and I think we did our best to communicate the importance of that for us as journalists and the ethics of that. But I did absolutely think at the end of that day that this was the last I would ever hear from her, because I thought, she was clearly visibly upset that I would dare to talk to the men. And I said to her, look, you've told me a lot of things, and they're really important things for us to figure out, but give them a chance to defend themselves and for me to hear from them and ask them, why did this happen or what happened in this case? And I don't think that necessarily meant anything to her. She just felt very betrayed. But, you know, so we went home, and I thought, that's it. This is the last we'll ever hear from her. And that just wasn't true. She called again and again, and we continued to film with her 2 years down the road from that. So, you know, it was a it was a bump in the road, but I don't think it, I think ultimately she saw that this was something we had to do, and this was an important process of this film.
How often, I'm wondering, how often do rape cases like Kanat's make it to court to begin with?
Very rarely. I mean, Hilke can talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare because sexual violence is often blamed on the alleged victims in Pakistan, and they often get shunned by their community. So there's a big disincentive for women to even speak out, and let alone try to take an alleged rape case to court. So the conviction rates are also very low because of the systematic lack of forensic evidence. So the system, and that was kind of incredible to us, that the lawyer for the accused men even shared that the system in Pakistan is geared towards the accused men. That's very hard to get a conviction in alleged rape cases. And he said, look, I mean, he maintained that his clients are innocent, but he said, look, she's a very bold woman for speaking out about that.
In her willingness to speak out about this, is this an example of the changing role of women in Pakistan?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it is. And, Kanat is one example, but there are definitely other examples as well of Pakistani women who are challenging the system. I mean, whether you believe her or not, and that's sort of, is a mystery of this case, which makes it fascinating for us to follow, whether people believe her or not, there is no denying that it takes a lot of guts to speak out about sexual violence and just issues of sexual violence in public in Pakistan. And I think the atmosphere is changing, and more and more women are willing to do that and are finding themselves with support that they are family members and women's organizations that are setting up bases in Pakistan who are helping them and are sort of providing a level of support for them that just wasn't there two decades ago.
That's Habiba Nosheen. She and Hilke Shellman are the writers and producers of Outlawed in Pakistan. It airs tonight on the PBS series Frontline on SDPB-TV at 9 Central, 8 Mountain. I spoke to them earlier this morning. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke.